Now, I want to play a very special request and wish a very happy birthday to Kathleen Doherty, who's 95 today. Have a wonderful day, Kathleen, from Sarah, Anne, and all of us here at Highland Radio. A big thank you to Ronan and Wendy McIlwain for their years of service as our local post office. It closes in Fannad today. That's a big deal for the area. Can you please play a special request for Kathleen Doherty, Ballybuffet, who's celebrating her 95th birthday today. Granny Doherty, as she's affectionately known, is doing great and will be looking forward to all her visitors calling today to help her celebrate, from Siobhan, Tommy and all the family. So there you go. Hopefully she's listening. Have a wonderful day. Kim Tully's Engaging Dementia CEO. Good morning, Kim. Sorry for holding you there. How are you keeping?
Problem. Thank you very much for having me.
Good stuff. Talk to me about the Engaging Dementia organization.
Exactly. So we were started about 35 years ago by Sister Mary Threadgold. She's a speech and language therapist, and she would visit people in nursing homes with and see the people with dementia with no activity. So she created the SUNUS program, which involves music and the senses and reminiscence, and it's really lovely. And we think it's in about half the nursing homes around Ireland. Then over the years, we've created other trainings. We also have an annual conference that's going to be in its 18th year next year. It's the largest dementia event in Ireland. And then we also started the first dementia cafe in Ireland in 2011 in Donnybrook. And we support the Irish Dementia Cafe Network with almost 70 cafes around Ireland.
Amazing growth. And we'll talk about some of those that are locally accessible. But just by coincidence, a conversation before 11 also mentioned the fact that we have an ageing population. And there's no doubt that that's the case. 64,000 people living with dementia in Ireland at the moment. That's the official figure. That's expected to increase by 150,000 euro by 2045, purely because more people are living longer. And in Donegal, there's an estimate of 2,200 people with dementia. And 300 of those, by the way, are under 65. Just to break another misconception, potentially, that this is always affecting older people. So this is something that's going to increase dramatically. And it's something that we need to, and you guys are, but us as a society, I suppose, need to recognise more, Kim.
Exactly. It's going to affect more and more people. So as you said correctly, it's not just something that affects older people, but age is one of the largest risk factors. So the older you get, the higher is your risk that you would get a dementia. The good news is that a lot of the things that people should do to stay healthy, to have a healthy body, are the same things that people should do to have a healthy brain. So, you know, looking after your weight, making sure you get your health checked up with your GP. There's an interesting one. I always tell people they're showing linkages between hearing loss and dementia. So make sure that you get your ears tested, your eyes tested. Make sure that everything's in proper working order and that you look after your health to the best of your ability. And that's the best thing you can do. And then on the brain side, challenge your brain. So keep doing the hobbies you like, but try to do new things too, which is really good for the brain.
Yeah, and that could be something that is as simple as a crossword or whatever it might be. So the dementia cafes or memory cafes, I think they're called in some places as well. How do they work? Why are they so successful? What do they offer that appeals so much?
So a lot of times, unfortunately, a diagnosis of dementia can be a very isolating thing. There's still, unfortunately, stigma attached to having a dementia. And this is just a safe place for people that are living in the community to go with their family members, to meet other people that are in the same situation, to get information, but also to have a laugh. It's really important to realize that socializing is really important for the brain. So if people just stay at home and isolate themselves and you know, that's not going to improve the situation, whereas we think coming together, sharing information and trying to be as positive as you can be, that will improve everything.
Yeah, so really we could almost look at the brain like a muscle, and the more it's exercised, the more useful it is I mean, obviously, it's not all about how engaged you are with others or whether or not you're looking. But these are all factors, and the busier you are mentally, the better. There's a Caff in Bumbeg, which takes place on the fourth Monday of every month. There's one in Dunloe, which takes place on the second Monday of every month. And Bala Buffet, they have one as well, which is the second Wednesday of every month. So there are options out there, and always, I presume, looking for new places to host. I'm thinking, is there one in Inishowen yet? Not quite, or one sort of in the south of the county, or maybe that information wasn't given to me because we're more northerly. But, you know, it's great to see those that are there, Kim, but are you always open to others coming and saying, listen, this is brilliant, we could try that too.
Definitely. We'd love to have a dementia cafe in every town and city in Ireland, because we do think that it's an amazing resource. It's run by a committee of volunteers, so we are looking for people that would be interested if they could contact us. So the important website to remember is dementiacafe.ie. On this website, you'll find the cafes that you mentioned, and then also ones around the country. And then any ones that are new are added to that finder, so people can find the new ones as they open up as well.
Yeah.
But contact us, and we can help people start a new one if they want to.
And it's not much to it, really. I mean, that's not in any way to take away from the effort, which is the biggest input really here. And that's where it comes from, your amazing volunteers. But this system seems to work, because we see it too with mental health, right? Whereby it's a neutral environment, isn't it? You can go and sit there and have a cup of coffee. You can engage. You can absorb the information or choose not to absorb the information. You can engage with others and share stories or tips or what have you, or not. And I think that's why this works, doesn't it? Because you decide yourself as the user how much you put in and get out, almost.
To note that there's a lot of information there, and there'd be signposting around services, but that's not the only thing that's discussed at a dementia cafe. So dementia is obviously very important, and it's a key part of it, but there's also maybe there's a craft that people are doing, or there's a bit of a sing song, or there's a speaker comes in about nutrition. So it's a lot of general information as well. And then I think a lot of people learn from each other. And we always recommend that a cafe also has a professional caregiver, someone who works in the health area that has the signposting information for people that do want more information.
Yeah.
So it's about information in a safe place together, but it's also about just having a cup of tea and having a chat.
All right, go to Dementia Cafe, dementiacafe.ie, where you'll get information on the CAFs that are there here in the county, around the country, but also, in fact, if you say, well, what supports are there if we wanted to start one locally, or what's the information, and you've got a group of very friendly people that will help you. For now, thank you very much indeed, Kim. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks for having me,
okay.
Greg.
Bye-bye.
Good weekend.
All right, you too. Bye, Kim. So there you go. Cafe Agus Canaltas in Bunbeg, Dunloe. There's Bala Buffet as well there. Okay, well done. There's going to be a man in Washington not very happy because the Nobel Peace Prize winner has been announced. It's Venezuela's opposition leader, Maria Corina Machado. She's won the Nobel Peace Prize. The committee said she had promoted democratic rights in her country in opposition to President Nicolas Maduro, widely considered a dictator who's carried out election fraud to stay in power. Okay, that's interesting. Quite political, isn't it? The Nobel Peace Prize. I didn't realise it was to go into a country and give it to an opposition leader. I'm not saying what she has done is not worthy of it. It's just not how I thought it went, because I've never really paid much attention. So nothing for Donald Trump there. He'll be saying, right, 2026. A caller says, what is the Older Persons Council doing about the removal of available services to older people and forcing them online to do everything? Well, what they're doing is they're speaking to the 200 people across the county. They're getting their views in relation to that, putting into a document and submitting it to the powers that be. And it's they who are ultimately responsible for this. But they can't make these decisions based off ignorance and a lack of research, because the council, like other councils around the country, is feeding it into the authorities, and it is they ultimately that make that call. We're going to be speaking to a person from Palestine living in Donegal in relation to the news emerging over the last number of days. Right, it's 20 past 11. Majida is from Palestine and living in Donegal and joins me on the programme now. Thank you for joining me. I hope I got the pronunciation of your name correct, Majida.
Yeah, it is correct. Okay. Good morning, everyone.
You've been living here in Donegal now for 2 years, but like anyone, you would be keeping a very close eye on what's happening in Palestine. And whilst not there for the last 2 years, I'm sure you've been incredibly personally affected by it with family and friends and what have you. You're one person. What has been the loss to you from Israel's action on Gaza?
The loss is not only the people who I love, and they are my blood, my family, my own family, and my friends, my neighbors. Actually, everyone in Gaza, it is a lot for me. The place, the history of Gaza, the building, the university, the hospital, what make the needs of the people that killing all the dreams of the life for me, or what means the life for me.
Your family now currently living in the south, and it's not by choice either. They've effectively been herded to the south by Israel. Have you had any contact with them since the first phase of this peace agreement was announced?
Yeah, we like 24 hours now we are in touch, because I want to know their movement, because they supposed to go back to the other south, to Khan Yunus. But it's so difficult because many people are going there. And actually, we are afraid to go there because, you know, many people, they are going to the same direction. It could be put them in dangerous again. So they decide to go to Jabalia, to other place. It will be less dangerous because the people, they announce about the hostages and the prisoner and the things, but in the ground is still bombing. Like today in the morning at 8:30 in the morning, they bombing and 9 people get killed in Khan Yunus. And they're still bombing, there is snipers there. And what they don't announce that they are taking in the line around Strip of Gaza, and they take 53% of the land in Gaza. That was something no one announces. And that's what makes the land is smaller to the people who are living there.
How much faith is there that once the hostages are handed over, and listen, their plight has been unbelievable as well, but how much hope do you have that Israel would stick to its word, that once the, I suppose you might say, the leverage is gone, if I could put it like that, as crudely as it is, and I know I'm talking about other people's lives, but do you have any confidence, Majida, that Israel will stick to an agreement, and once they have their hostages back, continue to stick to that agreement?
No, I don't have, I'm not positive about that, because they announced in 72 hours the Israeli hostages, it has to be delivered to their families. But until now, the Israeli, they are not agree with the people who in the list to be released from the prison in Israel, which does not make any fair and only justice, because, okay, we will give you what your people, but we need also our people, and they doesn't agree to free them.
This was a peace deal. Well, firstly, this was a war facilitated by the United States, it has to be said, but it is a peace deal that has been brokered by Donald Trump. What are your views on Donald Trump?
Like everybody, to be honest. I'm sorry for laughing, but it is like a drama laughing, because after 2 years of like genocide and farming in Gaza, and now for piece of a prize, they make all this in one day, and the way he announced it, and the agreement, and this pressure is going for 2 years to put this agreement for peace and to stop the war, and no one listen to it. And in 1 minute, just because the prize, Nobel Prize, he said, okay, we will have
Well, he didn't get that. He didn't get the Nobel Prize. I'm not sure if you've heard it was given to the Venezuelan opposition.
Yeah, I know. But all this act, it is for that. But it's still, this agreement is coming from many, many countries and governments. The pressure, but still it is not 100% succeed until the moment.
But Gina, what is your view of Hamas, and would you see a future for Gaza without Hamas having any influence or power?
Hamas, it is the people who also they were in the prison for many, many years. They educate how to be resilient. They are Palestinian. They are the owner of the land. The Hamas is not only from Gaza. They are from all Palestine, and they forced to be in Gaza. And okay, Hamas is not only the name of the group, but the Palestinian, they have their own right to resist for their country. So it is not only about Hamas. It is about the Palestinian themselves.
So do you think Hamas or a resistance is an ideology, and whilst you might be able to remove it in name, you might not necessarily be able to remove it in spirit? I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm just trying to analyse your words, Majida.
No. Hamas, they announce themselves as a political or as a fighter name, but everyone, as a Palestinian, we will fight for our rights. So doesn't mean we are Hamas, or we are Fatah, or we are any group belong. We are belong to Palestine. We are Palestinian, and we fight with any name just to have our land back.
I'm fully aware that the situation that is now and that Palestinians have endured goes back decades and not 3 years. But as a Palestinian, What is your reaction to Hamas's actions on October 7th, 3 years ago?
It is normal. It is a normal react, because, like, to be in an open air prison, it's not easy. And this open air prison, it has been for 20 years. No one know about it, and no one talk about it. And this movement now, they just clear there for all the world that what the people in Gaza, let's say just a minute in Gaza, the life in Gaza, it is going in like that for many, many years. Mm. What happened in October 7th, it just opened the eyes for entire world.
So with that in mind, do you think it was a means to an end? Do you believe it was justified?
Hopefully. I have big hope in Palestinians. They will do their best to end this war.
Okay, we shall see how things progress from here. Majida, thank you very much indeed. Another caller from Palestine, also living in Donegal, says peace is always good, but the liberation of the people is more critical. What has happened there can never happen again. Freedom of education, housing, etc. is vital. Now, right across the region, there are people giving up their time and organising events all over the shop, really, for individuals, for causes, for organisations. And I just want to take a moment now to plug a few of these, by the way. So it's just something that might be close to you and you might be able to attend. So the Donegal Down Syndrome Association, they're running a cars and coffee event on Sunday. It runs from 12 noon to 2, and it's in the Carrigart Parochial Hall. Donations welcome at the door. Tickets will be on sale for a raffle. You get to see some nice cars, get a cup of tea or coffee, and there's always some nice buns there. There's a tea day in aid of the Matter Heart Foundation. It's a fundraiser. You're invited to enjoy a hot drink and delicious baked goods while supporting a great cause. That's today. It's running until 3 p.m. at the Wesley Hall in Carndonagh. So get along to that. Get along to that if you can. Right now, do I take that lady in? No, okay. Coffee with a Cause. You're invited to join us to support Paddy McLaughlin Mooney as he takes on the Dublin Marathon in memory of his dad. It's a coffee morning to raise funds for the Irish Heart Foundation. This is in Carndonagh as well. It's in the GAA Club in Fodden, and it runs on Sunday from 9:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and all donations greatly appreciated. Right, Carrick Sheltered Housing and Day Centre, they've got an open day in memory of Rose Byrne in Roxburgh, Kilcar. It is tomorrow, running from 2 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. There'll be light refreshments served. It's a family day with face painting and storytelling for kids, a cake sale, live music. That's tomorrow between 2 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. in memory of Rose Byrne. And the first annual memorial run for Eric Byrne takes place on Saturday as well. Registration from 12 p.m. at Carrick Sheltered Housing Reception. The charity run commences at 1 p.m. from Carrick. Refreshments served in Carrick after the run. All tractors, classic and show cars welcome. And funds raised will be split between Carrick Sheltered Housing and Carrick Day Centre. So that's Saturday. Two events taking place in Carrick. Today is World Mental Health Day. Good to talk, you know, and it really is good to talk. It's not just a phrase. So today at 7 p.m. at the Aura Letterkenny Meeting Room, Donegal, there's going to be inspiring talks from mental health speakers, representatives from the Donegal Mental Health Organisation, insights on support, service, resilience and breaking stigma, and a Q&A session. All are welcome and it's free entry. Remember, mental health matters to us all. Let's talk about it. That's tonight at 7 p.m. in the Aura Leisure Centre. Special guests include local mental health advocates and speakers with lived experience, representatives from the various mental health organisations across Donegal. So you can go and learn what mental health truly is, discover local supports, connect, listen and be part of an open conversation. So no matter how, just in relation to your mental health, no matter how isolated you feel or unique you feel, and you are unique, don't get me wrong, but lots and lots and lots of people, more people than you would know, will deal with issues, people you wouldn't expect to deal with issues, with anxiety, with circular thinking, with catastrophizing things, with always thinking negatively, without sort of feeling hope. Maybe you feel crabby or cranky or moody or stressed. You're not on your own and you're not unique, right? You are unique as a person, but not in what you're suffering. And it really is possible to overcome that and to feel good and to feel like your heart rate is slowing down, that you don't have to breathe by yourself, that your back and shoulders aren't always tense. Lots of people feel the same. And of course, then it escalates to affecting people more seriously than that. But everything's subjective. Go along to an event like the World Mental Health Day talk this evening, and you'll realise that there is hope, there is daylight, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and other people understand you, understand what you're going through, and there's many, many ways that you can seek help. So don't endure it on your own, ploughing the trough or the trout, what do you call it? Whatever you call it anyway, but you know what I mean? Wading in treacle, feeling like, you know, no one gets it. Yes, we do, but you have to talk and you have to share. And if you can, go and get some help and you will not believe the difference it might make to you. And lastly, there's a coffee morning, a fundraising event in aid of Critical. It's the emergency medical response team. You know, Dr. Jerry Lane's involved in that. They do amazing work. It's in memory of Ainish McFadden, and it runs from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. tomorrow. And it's at 159 Upper Mount Marion in Milford. And all proceeds benefit their amazing volunteering work. So look, there's no shortage of tea, no shortage of coffee, no shortage of baked goods, no shortage of information right across our wonderful region, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Those are days that I've just mentioned there. Right, so now, I'm sorry for holding Sinead O'Donnell Carey from Donegal, who's set and costume designer of Belfast Girls. Thanks so much for joining us, Sinead.
Good morning, Greg. How are you getting on?
I'm doing good. So this is a new production of Belfast Girls by Jackie McCarrick, and it's coming to the local theatre, to Letterkenny here, on Greenon Theatre, two nights, Tuesday the 14th and Wednesday the 15th of October, both nights at 8 p.m. So what's it like to be involved with such an exciting production, with such a sort of critical role within it, Sinead?
Yeah, well, Belfast Girls was actually written, I think, around 12 years ago, and it was actually never produced in Ireland. So Entente Theatre in Dundalk, Contestants Theatre Company, produced it about a year and a half ago for the first time, and we just toured it in four venues. So now we're actually touring the whole country. So it's a really important story that should be shown and seen by everybody. So basically, in the 1800s, women were rounded up in Belfast and sent on ships to Australia because there was a shortage of men, right? So they would find women in brothels and workhouses and promise them this wonderful new life in Australia. So the play takes place on the ship, starting with when they board the boat and finishes when they land in Australia. So it's a really, really great story. It follows five women from the northwest and the northeast of Ireland. And it just kind of follows a lot of their personal stories, the secrets, a lot of things get revealed, you know, and just kind of harrowing sort of experience, life experiences that they would have had at the time, you know. Mm. Now, it's not all doom and gloom. there's a lot of comedy in it as well to lighten the load. There's even a wee love story. So it's great to see some queer representation on stage as well for a period drama. So yeah, all in all, it's a really, really good show. And we do have a local actor as well from Donegal Town, Katrina Williams. She plays Molly. So hopefully she'll have a big Donegal Town contingency coming as well.
No doubt about it at all. And it seems to lend itself well for the stage because, you know, I presume the almost, is it claustrophobic? It's certainly a confined space. These people are in it for a long period of time, of course, given the nature of their journey. So inevitably, things are going to come out or develop or foster.
Yes, absolutely. And that's kind of how I designed the set as well, actually, because they are, you know, underneath the deck in the ship, you know, and so it created a very cramped, tight space for the girls on stage, you know, and there should be a real feeling of claustrophobia. And there's also sort of in the pallets of wood that the set's built out of, I've actually put gaps in the wood as well to sort of symbolise almost that they're drowning in this sort of space, you know, and that there's almost it could probably implode on them at any minute, and you know that the water could come in, or you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. We've also burnt all the wood as well, so there's sort of this destruction that's already there as well. So the wood is actually all burnt too. So sort of that's kind of the way the set was designed, you know. But yeah, it is a cramped space. Things are going to explode, you know, and they do. So, yeah. You know, there's lots of up and downs, big roller coaster ride, you know.
Brilliant. And it is a play that's obviously received national attention, but also international attention. So it travels well. And I think that's always a sign of good work.
It has, yes. It's been in America, it's been in Asia, Australia, it's been everywhere but Ireland until the last year. So it's
ironically
a real privilege for us to... It was a real privilege for us to... We did have it in the Lyric in Belfast last year. It's gone back to the Lyric this year. But at least this year now, it's getting to tour the whole country, which is great.
Yeah, and it's this is the wonderful thing about On Green on Theatre. This is the type of a show people would travel to Belfast or Dublin to go and see, but they don't have to because it's being delivered to their front door. It's next Tuesday the 14th and Wednesday the 15th of October at 8 p.m. And I suppose it reflects life, doesn't it, Sinead? You know, you talk of the difficulties, but there's romance and there's happiness and wit and humour as well, and that really, I suppose, is like the cross-section of life.
Yeah, it would be very, you know, the audiences that come to see the show will really have compassion and understanding of a lot of the stories. They're all very relevant today too, you know. There's still, you know, a lot of things going on in the world that are that people will understand, and this as well, you know what I mean? These kind of stories sort of always exist with women, you know.
It's so interesting, isn't it, how this is based in set in 1850, but there's certain elements of it for sure that could be based in 2025, and God knows,
absolutely,
2026, 2030, 2035, things seem to be regressing in terms of the treatment of women.
Absolutely, especially in today's political climate, you know. So it's as relevant today as it was in 1850, I believe, you know. So yeah, it's a good story, and it does, as I say, it brings you on the journey, you know, the whole way to Australia, you know. So
okay, listen, well done, Sinead. It's great to have a Donegal interest, not only in your part, but Katrina Williams as well. So we're well represented. Best of luck. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, Sinead, look after yourself. Sinead O'Donnell Carey there. And just to remind you, that it is in on Green On Theatre next Tuesday and Wednesday, the 14th and 15th, throw in at 8 p.m. And it's, as I say, it's toured all over the shop. It's just really only hitting Ireland now. And it's an award-winning show as well, by the way. So get to it. Contact on Green On Box Office for more deets. The older person, especially now this winter, will feel let down by this government, says a listener. The budget offered us no support to see us through the winter. They should have been one-off payments to help older people living alone, didn't get any increases. The fuel allowance is €33. How many bags of coal or oil would that buy? An older woman living alone, I feel trapped with bills. That's just surviving on a daily basis. And no one should feel like that in their older years, that they're, I don't know, almost running down the clock or whatever it might be. You know, it's just no one should exist like that, especially having contributed so much to the world too. There should be services in Letterkenny, even the county, for people that suffer with mental health problems. Like, I'm anxious, anxiety and jealousy. I doesn't know how to control it. I myself, for example, if I get too much alcohol, drugs, I self-harm. That's all part of it. You would really need treatment from both. But often people like me often end up, they're dragging family down, and there is an impact on that, how to deal with it, and how can you try and move on and live a life without these problems? Well, you can, right? Okay, thanks for reaching out. Maybe this text, putting it down, writing it out, maybe it's one of the first times you've seen it out before yourself as it is. Let us know what you've tried. Did you go to your GP? Have you tried being referred to any other services? You're acutely aware of the situation you find yourself in. And I think that's a really good stepping stone or a good starting point maybe to getting the life that you recognise that you want. And I think when you're so self-aware, that could make it even more achievable. Let me know. Just one other mention. There's a cancer exhibition on at St. Stephen's Green in Dublin at the moment for anyone interested. It showcases all the new research in different types of cancer. It's on until the 31st of October. I'm an ex-oncology nurse, and it's very interesting. Okay, very good. And as an ex-oncology nurse, you'd recognise the great advances being being referenced there by our very own Mr. Michael Sugrue. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to give you the weather, and then I'm going to be joined by Shannon Wilkins, who's part of our team here as well. She's been looking at what's trending on socials this week. 6-7. What do you think of that?
It has an actual song out now.
Has it really?
Yeah.
Joe
was asking for songs for a prom yesterday because he's not as cool as he once thought he was.
Well, I don't think he's cool at all.
I asked my wee sister, he's 13, and she says, play 6-7. So,
yeah, okay. Well, anyway, listen, you're going to keep us bang up to date with what the kids are on about, and of course the adults and others as well. We're going to be having a run through what's happening across social media, but I'm first going to take a quick break. Right, Shannon Wilkins taking a look at what's been trending on socials this week, starting with chips, air fryer chips. What's going on here?
So it's turned into a wee bit of a foodie TikTok here, but do you ever make some chips from the freezer and you're like, it's just not hitting like a chip from the chippy. So there's this new trend going around. So cover them in cold water for 30 seconds.
These are frozen chips.
Frozen chips, just your average bag, nothing special. Put them in a lunchbox and shake them and they'll start to look a wee bit fluffy. And then you have to microwave them for 5 minutes and then air fry them for 15 minutes at 200 degrees. Wee bit of oil and salt and you've got these really crispy, crunchy, lovely chips.
Well, let's see how crispy and crunchy they are.
Shake halfway through cooking. Optionally a little melted beef fat.
One second, man.
These are insane. I got to shout out my friend Chris Young. Nah. He's a genius.
You don't like them?
I don't think so. I can't be bothered. There's too many stages.
But that's like 30 seconds and then 5 minutes.
It's not. There's too many stages. I'm sorry. There's too many stages. But yeah, you know what? That's fine. Right. Okay. Now, Katy Perry. Talk to me about Katy.
Katy Perry.
And you just tell me if this is one we need to listen to, right?
So the audio in this one is good. Everyone will enjoy it. But she was gigging in
Belfast.
It's
2:22, but I ain't enjoying it that long.
You're not enjoying it that long. Well, she's a wee bit of banter with a wee boy called Dara, and he's from Lurgan, and she can't understand what he's saying with his Narn accent.
Right.
So she's like,
Sorry, listeners.
Lurgan, Lurgan. And it's just her over and over. Then it gets to a nice wee bit, and she's like, what's this? It's a county, Armagh, blah, blah, blah.
Did you, before I get to it, right, did you see the video of the fella or woman goes up to the chip shop in Omagh and they're closing in 2 minutes? It's really funny. You should check that out. It's closing in 2 minutes, and she orders a ton of food. Like, and the lady behind the counter.
And it's a joke, isn't it?
Yeah, the lady behind the counter is going, no problem, no problem. The chef is just losing his bap. It's funny, but I think it's just been replicated from another trend.
What's your name? Laura. Wow, where are you from?
I am Lurgan.
Sorry, pardon, what?
Lurgan.
What the hell is Lurgan?
Arma.
What is Arma?
Accounting.
A what?
Accounting.
Accounting? Oh my god. Lurgan. Is it that? Lurgan?
Bergen.
Lurgan. You better teach me. What are you going to be when you grow up, Dara?
A singer.
Oh, my goodness.
Katie's handed him the microphone. Come on, Dara. Come on, Dara. Hurry up, Dara.
Oh, no, he doesn't want.
All right, let's fast forward. Okay, let's get to him singing. I want to hear him sing.
Out of your mind till it actually happened. A small town, 1 in 7 million. Why can this be me?
Good little voice on him, isn't there? Okay, what an experience for him. Is it not Dara? I thought, it's James Seamus.
No, I said he might be famous.
Okay, well, let's not get carried away. It's that kind of parenting has people going on to the X Factor that shouldn't be on X Factor. Right, okay, so well done. She's actually nice. Things like that completely changed my attitude towards people, and for her giving off so much time and giving that child a memory that will last forever is amazing. There's an interesting story about a house, right, that was petrol bombed, and then there's a bit of a video going about it.
I don't know the exact details of what happened to the house.
It was petrol bombed. It was someone who didn't deal in cars. Let me put it to you like that.
Okay, very good.
Quite a famous character. But go on anyway.
It's a video doing the rounds in the moment. So it's Ray Cook Lettings in Dublin. And it's a house. It has no windows, no door. You don't know how you'd enter. It needs major renovation. And it's in Finglas, which wouldn't be a great area. But it'll do the job. Guess how much for a house that you live in with no windows or doors?
$325,000.
$225,000.
Right, let's listen to his pitch. 1 second. This is Ray Cook from Ray Cook. As I say,
I think that's a winner, Kevin.
I got to shout out my friend Chris Young. He's a genius.
Oh, what's happened there?
Here with Ray Cook Auctioneers outside 19 Deanstown Green in Finglas. This property comes to the market in need of full renovation throughout, presenting a fantastic opportunity for anyone looking for a project or investment. It's located in a mature and well-established area, close to schools, shops and excellent transport links, just a short drive from Dublin city centre. Whether you're an investor or a buyer ready to put your own stamp on a home, this property offers huge potential.
He could sell eyes to the Inuits, that's something else. But you know what? Someone's going to snap it up. But as I say, I think it might have been intentionally set on fire, if you know what I mean, because of its previous... residents. Right, so that's that. Local TikTok, what's going on here?
Local TikTok, so I always kind of want to see what's happening, what's trending. So the first one, I don't know, can you see it? It's a wee local granddad.
Yeah.
I love the wee granddads. And he discovers the Owala bottle.
Well, let's have a listen to him.
Nope. Oh, see, they're throwing out here.
Yeah, just...
that right?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
But
Jesus, that's great. That's a great thing. That.
But you can also like.
Where do you get that?
You can also like put it up, like a normal drink.
No, you need cocktail. That there, Bill. That's better than anything. Never powder or nothing.
That's loose. I wonder, is he on about what's in it rather than
it's the fact
itself?
That he doesn't have to tilt it when
he
drinks.
Well, I don't like those bottles. Someone said to me before, "Hey, look at my bottle. You can suck it or you can tip it," and I'm like. what
I know, it's nearly like an effort. You have to...
I think so, yeah. But anyway, it's lovely to see it. And that is proved very popular. 22.4 likes. Lucy, well done.
That was at 200 likes when I went to bed last night, which was around 11. And this morning, so it's at around 27,000.
Right, kissing versus sauce trend. What's going
on
here?
Have you seen this one?
No.
So basically, you go to your partner or whoever you want. Right. You have to eliminate one thing in life. You can never kiss again, or you can never have sauce again. And this is a bit of like a heated debate. Which do you value more?
So say it one more time. What's the question?
So you have to give up one. You can never kiss anyone again, including your children or whatever. Okay. Or you can never have any sauce again.
Well, I mean, that's obviously give up the sauce, don't you?
I really had to struggle with this one. But really? I suppose then everyone else was like, I would give up the sauce. And I was like, but I really love sauce.
Yeah, but what, I mean, can you make your own sauce?
I don't know what the exact rules are, but then someone proved the point. If you season your meat enough, and if you have like enough oil naturally in it, you'll be all right.
It's not hard to make tomato sauce.
Like our ancestors didn't have sauce, but they would have always kissed.
Or else we wouldn't be here.
You know, exactly. So when you look at it that way.
All right. Jenny from Derry. Damn it. There's someone, I mean, Big Brother's a funny old thing. You know, it's been quite controversial this week. Someone was chucked out. Another person was warned for what I saw as some sort of an innocent slip of a question. There is a transgender guy in there, and I thought quite innocently said they didn't have a willy, and got a warning for it, and it was publicised on the telly. Well, it's gone crazy, I'll tell you. But anyway... Jenny, she's making waves. She's still in it, is she?
She's still in it. She's kind of iconic, but she's so funny. You don't know whether to like.
She's already
laugh
famous, though. Like this is just the lineup of already social media influencers. I hope Jenny does really well out of it. But I mean, this used to be a social experiment. Mm. Now it's just people with 300,000 or 400,000 followers on TikTok or Instagram.
But I would say Jenny would be famous in like the Northwest and Northern Ireland. I don't think she has a big following, like even nationally.
Yeah, but
like
still, it means that I would say the majority of these people were actually approached rather than applied. I used to love Big Brother back in the day, but I don't really even think it's an experiment anymore, you know?
I just watch it for the highlight reels, but the one that I saw the last day that actually really made me laugh but go, oh my God. So, you know, when Liam Payne died, my generation would be big One Directioners. She took a week off work. She thought to herself, I can't really say I'm taking a week off for Liam Payne's death. So they were like, right, you need to prove to us who died. She went on the local obituary pages and just picked a random lady and said, that's my auntie, how dare you?
Wow, okay. The next people might go too. But anyway, she got her week off.
She did.
Hey, listen, thanks very much. That is Shannon Comes In Weekly to give us an idea of what's trending on social media. We'll be back with you Monday morning at 9. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody.